summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather.
Hello, welcome into episode 102 of Keithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a Designer Alley section back with Louise Tilbrook. There's a What's a Crack, Swap and Knit Along section, Me 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 section, Runny Runny Runny, Passing It On, the Dram section with a Glen Grant single malt whisky, and a Shoppy section. I sponsor this from my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what crack is in Keithness this week.
Designer Alley.
I have a charming listener, Louise Tilbrook, who was previously known as Mad Bum. She's a long-time listener and one who's consistently listened and highlighted on the group her blog updates with her designs on. So, I thought it's about time I invited her onto the Designer Alley section. Here we go. Question 1. I think you have lovely taste. Can you tell me where, who and what you get your inspiration from? She said, thank you very much. I get a lot of my inspiration from nature and the scenery around me. Not so much in the very flat area of North Essex where I currently live, but from the mountains of the Lake District. I was born in Lancashire, close to Pendle Hill, of Pendle Witches fame. Sorry, I was reading something about witches to Daisy earlier on, and we had to do a cackling voice. And I always feel happiest when I can see hills in the distance. We started holidaying in the lakes when my two boys were babies. We tried to go back as often as we can. The patterns and textures seen in plants and the surrounding landscape are fabulous and a constant source of inspiration. I also love to work with the soft muted tones that you often see in Lakeland. Gentle blues, greys and greens. Colours that often look their best when surrounded by a gentle mist. Perhaps a good thing considering the weather that the Lake District is famous for. That's true. Question 2. Why do you design? She said, good question. For me, I think it's a natural progression from starting to learn to knit socks, through to becoming a bit of a sock addict, and finally to wanting to create my own designs and knit the kind of socks that give me pleasure. Question 3. Can you describe the process you go through from idea to finished garment? Do you use a sketchbook, colour wheels, etc.? She said, I generally start with the yarn, usually with a colour that sings to me, and work from there. My drawing skills are pretty basic, but I do make a sketch which includes the features I want to include and also note down any particular aspects that I want to highlight. Question 4. What's the hardest part of the design process for you? She said, oh, definitely the discipline required in writing the pattern down and getting it ready to test. I'm much better now than I used to be, but I learnt the hard way that it is essential to write everything down as I go. My memory's not that good, no matter how much I wish it were. Yes. I know how that feels. Terrible memory sometimes. Question 5. What's the best bit of the design process for you? She said, seeing other knitters using the pattern to create their own unique socks. I love how the same pattern can look completely different in different colours or textures of yarn. Releasing a new pattern into the big wide world is still a great thrill and one which gives me a great sense of satisfaction. Question 6. Does the yarn come first or does the pattern come first and then find the yarn to suit it? She said, oh, yarn first, no question. If I'm feeling a little low on inspiration or just a little low generally, I will go and visit my good sock yarn stash. Oh, sounds like a golden skein place. Lay it all out on the bed and more often than not design ideas or possible stitch patterns start to pop into my head. Question 7. Do you design with a person or a shape in mind? She said, I generally like to try and create unisex designs, ones which are quite classic and which would be suitable for gift knitting as well as knitting for oneself. As to whether a design is really unisex, my husband is the final arbiter. He's very conservative in both colour and design, and if he will happily wear it, I know I can class it as unisex, safe in the knowledge that most men would be fine with it. Question 8. How do you know your design is original? With so much out there to choose from, how do you approach it? She said, it is difficult, I think, to be truly original. There is only so much, after all, that can be done with knit and purl stitches, and many designs do end up looking quite similar. I try to avoid an all-over pattern taken straight from a stitch dictionary, and instead will take elements of one pattern and either change it around to create a pleasing effect, or combine it with other design elements to produce something which is both visually pleasing and is fun to knit. I also like to offer knitters as much choice as possible, so if the design allows, I will publish the pattern in both toe-up and cuff-down versions. That's quite cool, isn't it? Because some people like toe-up and some people like cuff-down. Some people can only do cuff-down. Hello, that's me. Question 9. What are your designer plans for the future? She said, I still consider myself very much a newbie designer and I'm still constantly learning. I wouldn't have called you a newbie designer. However, the learning, everybody learns, I'll give you that one. My plans for 2014 are to continue to grow my design business, to publish a small ebook collection based on walks in the Lake District. Oh, I like that. Walks, socks, couldn't get better than that. A series of socks based on real life Lakeland walk, inspired by the summits and other landscape features you would see along the way. And ending, like all good Lakeland walks, in the local pub. Oh, that sounds excellent. Well, Louise, when that comes out, let us know and I shall certainly publicise it and have a good nosy at that. Question 10. Please describe your shop on this here designer alley. And she said, it would be in the Lake District in a small village, traditional stone-built cottage next to a babbling stream with Hardwick's sheep in the field opposite, with a great view of the surrounding fells. There would always be hot coffee on the go for those who wanted it. The local pub next door for those who fancied something a little bit more medicinal. We all do that. Strangely, for a cottage in the middle of nowhere would be fabulous Wi-Fi access, so you can browse Ravelry, Pinterest, your heart's content, before settling down to some seriously highly satisfactory retail therapy. There would be a cosy corner with sofas and well-stocked knitters bookshelves. There would also be a yarn tasting area where lots of lovely scrumptious yarn would be available, along with lots of pairs of needles that you could try before you buy. What a good idea, actually, isn't it? Visitors would be invited to knit a small sample square which could go into a large basket ready to be sewn up in the beautiful charity blankets. The sewing would be done at night, obviously by magic elves. That's funny. Another corner would house a spinning wheel. I can't spin to save my life, but in my fantasy I can, and I happily sit and spin or teach others when I'm not knitting socks. Well, that's nice. Obviously, with it being in my designer alley, we have to have this just in an annex. There's a wee, in my head, a wee magic door that takes you to Louise's magic place. So, because it has to be about me as well, you know, it's on my designer alley. But this is Louise's part of it. Question 11. And finally, the contact details the listeners can get you so they can buy. She said, you can find me on Ravelry as Louise Tilbrook. That's Louise, L-O-U-I-S-E, T-I-L-B-R-O-O-K. And I also have a Facebook page at Louise Tilbrook Designs. I have a personal blog at www.madmum-knittingforsanity.blogspot.co.uk. which incorporates my design work, although I am busy beavering away on a new design blog which will be going live soon. How lovely is she? Thank you to my Louise Cubed Tilbrook for being part of my designer alley. She always posts to the group, as I said, and she's so friendly on social media, so I recommend utterly that you go befriend her, stalk her, possibly, in a nice way, and buy some of her patterns. So also do go join the spring knit along that she's having on the group. Now, if you need a pee stop, because it's time for the Daisy and the Sandy giggle.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever listeners and everybody in between. I still appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you enjoy yourselves. A Sandy hello to new group members, Miss Rugby Houst. I practiced this, you would think. I would know how to say this. Miss Rugby Oust, Stripey Squirrel, Cal Fans, Lizzie Yeager, and Beat 19. Thank you for your lovely messages. Random hellos are to read the page. Hello, Starshine. Volksknitter54 needs yarn. Joy Lynn and Knitting Mummy of Six.
What's the crack, Citrin?
What's the crack? Not much here. Willie Bear recommends that we watch the Sprightly Knitter video cast, and turns out it's Orange Maid from Ravelry, who lives down in Gourock Way in Scotland. So, if you want to hear another Scottish accent, and this one you might be a bit more familiar with, because they're my accent, then do go give her a try out via YouTube at the Sprightly Knitter video cast. Answers of the quiz. Oh yes, I'm such an idiot. Don't ever let me rule the world, because I'll forget to turn off the taps or put the lights out. I announced the winners last episode, but not the answers. So double duh me. Question one. What's the name of my dog who you can mostly hear snoring or pitter-pattering around the place? The answer is, his name is Quattro. Four Paw Drive. Because we were drunk when we decided it and we couldn't afford an Audi Quattro. But we could afford a dog. Although, when you add it up all over the years, probably would have been cheaper with the car. But not as much fun. Question two. What type of hat will I pull the winner from? The answer was, it's the plastic Viking hat. Has horns and everything. I occasionally use other hats that I can find in the toy room, but mostly it's the plastic Viking one. Question three. What was the name of the garment that I had clasped on three times and pulled out, and is sitting waiting patiently to be finished? Some of you guessed socks, but no, it was my Owls by Kate Davis. And I'm going to get onto this later in the year when my figure is a size smaller than it is now. Run, Louise, run! Question four. What is my favourite dram? Okay, you got this one, no problem. Well done, I have trained you all well. An old Pulteney, and it's distilled in Wick, where I am from. And question five. What is the name of my wind turbine? George, of course! That's one for the older listeners. So that was the quiz, and thank you for all the people that put up the prizes. Very much appreciated. And thank you for all those who took part. So well done if you did, because you won something. Because there was very few of you actually entered. Next time it won't be quite so hard, but I feel like you had to earn that prize.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. Right, well, remember a few weeks ago when I berated the fact that Knitting Pipeline's main retreat fell over the wrong dates in September for me, i.e. Daisy's 6th birthday? Well, there I am, walking down to the harbour last week, putting the bairns on the bus, and it's, episode 166, and she said she was talking about the main knitting retreat. And I thought, I'll listen and see what she says about this. I'm not going. Then she said the date's out. Turns out it's a week later than previously thought. And then I thought, hold on, I can do that. So I am. Richard and I discussed it. I asked the bairns if they would be okay. They keep changing their minds right enough, but I am going to bribe them with toys. I found flights, and whilst nothing is booked yet, I am planning to go to America in September 2014 for a week. And if you're quick, book up now too. It's been held in Kennebunkport, hopefully that's how you say it, on the east side of Maine, that's in the United States of America, which is the other side of the Atlantic to me. I get to stand on the Atlantic and go, look, it's the ocean on the other side. And it's on the 21st to the 25th of September 2014. So I'll be flying from Glasgow to Philadelphia, and I'm going to be looked after, because nobody trusts me to do it by myself. They have a fair point. By Twinset Jan from the Twinset Design Podcasts. And if you've not listened to either of these podcasts, I utterly recommend. So that's Knitting Pipeline Podcast and the Twinset Design Podcast. I might not sound it right now, but I am beside myself with excitement at meeting some of my listeners. Some will be new friends to me. I just experience American life for a week. And this does not mean that I will be buying anything new in a whim for a long time. Except when I'm there, because I'm saving up. And the shoppy section is now open for business. Also coming up, a lot closer to home, is the Highland Wool Festival in Dingwall on the 24th of May, which I will be going to. And I won't be buying a lot of yarn now. I'm going to go for a nose and a meet up with Louise Scully of Knit British Podcast and Sheila of Black Isle Crafts Podcast.
Runny,
runny, runny.
Who's the mummy?
Me, that's who.
Runny, runny, runny. Well, it's now 4 weeks until the May 10K, and they have now marked the course. They've changed it slightly, but only the way that they're going out the castle grounds, which makes no difference than a slight uphill to start. Well, when I say hills round here, I kind of mean the 3% gradient on the route. But they can go on for quite a while, but nothing at all hilly. And my husband doesn't think of hills. He thinks of hills as mountains. I think of anything that is making my legs go, excuse me, this is not flat. Yeah. And I actually had to take a 2 week break from running due to having an ongoing sore left calf. And I was cycling instead, which was quite nice. And I had the Caithness phenomenon. Boo-doo, boo-doo, boo. Phenomenon. Boo-doo, boo. Phenomenon. Of being... I was being blown up the hills, or gradients, and I was pedalling back down the gradients, hills. And then on Sunday, I had a wee 2 mile on the treadmill, and my calf was okay. It's improved. And I sat down to take my trainers off and write up my book, and Richard came through with the ice pack. And this is a proper bona fide ice pack holder into your knee Velcro material affair. It was a Dame Kelly Holmes ice pack. But this one had a new ice gel pack in it. And Richard says, be careful of that because it's poking up a little bit and you don't want it to touch your skin. No, I didn't. So I popped my leg up with it. And I was honestly no more than 11 or 12 minutes because I'd looked at the time when I started. And I was, I knew it was really cold. And I took it off and I went, oh, my leg feels like frozen chicken breast. It was horrible. It had frozen the flesh on my calf. And I knew I was in trouble when I saw Richard's face because he has two versions. One, suck it up, stop your moaning, there's nothing wrong with you. And two, uh-oh, this is genuinely serious. I think I might have to take you to hospital and I can't because I've just had a drink. And in my head, I was fine because you couldn't feel it. It was a bit numb. But yeah, it wasn't a very good thing. So we gently heated the leg back up by just kind of putting it in the duvet and I defrosted. Didn't put myself in the microwave or the mickle oven as my grandma used to call it. So yeah, and then it defrosted and I was left with the burn the size of the ice pack, which is a good 8 by 5 inches wide. So I waited and didn't put anything on it as you don't with burn, and I applied honey and covered it with cling film the next day and it's clearing it up lovely. But because it was really quite sore, I wasn't allowed by Richard to do exercise for a week. So be very cautious when applying frozen peas or packs to have no skin contact whatsoever and a thicker cover between it. It never happened before to either of us and we used the ice pack a fair bit. In the good news part, no permanent damage, my calf muscles have sucked it up and stopped moaning. So I was back to training and you know what? I miss running. I was grumpy because I couldn't run. He was out every other morning at 6 o'clock doing the 5K route to sort of see if he could speed it up. And I'm lying there going, oh, my fitness, wheely, wheely, wheely. However, yesterday, back into it. And West didn't really enjoy it at the time. I was okay afterwards. And I was out there at 6:30 this morning and I shall be going out there again at 6:30 tomorrow morning. So keep on running, you runny people, and especially you, Martine, doing the London Marathon this weekend, and anybody else going to do it. Go on, runny, runny, runny. You, the mummy. Or the runny, if you're not a mummy. I have a new section, which I've not even got the burn to do a lead-in for it yet, so it's called the Pass It On section. Now, this isn't purloining from the Knitmores, their purloining section, as this is just directly passing on what I've learned or thought really interesting from other podcasters that I listen to. Because I know we don't all listen to the same podcasts and or not all at the same speed. And sorry if I spoil anything in advance or good for you for trying out the podcast now. And also I don't want to sound like I'm hashing out other people's podcasts because there is one that I listen to and I keep thinking they're just really taking everybody else's ideas and putting it in their sales. But this is sort of, I heard this and I point you where it came from in the first place and I suggest you listen to it, but try it all the same because it's good. So the first one is via Curious Handmade. Now, a few months ago, she was talking to Vintage Amanda and they were discussing natural beauty products. It was a really good interview. I suggest you try it. And Vintage Amanda suggested the best place to start using natural ingredients would be a honey face mask. And it's partly where I got the idea to put honey in my burns. It's one of them things you know at the back of your head, but I've never actually done. And I can report back that honey is fabulous on burns and faces. Yes, it's sticky, but if you put it on your put your hair back in a headband for your facial thing, and then you put it on for 15 minutes, and then you take it off with a lovely hot cloth. Very simple and very good for you. So go check out Vintage Amanda's blog and listen to her interview with Curious Handmaid's Helen. Honey rocks! It's not only antibacterial and fantastic for your skin, it's tasty too. But personally, I wouldn't have this honey after you have put it on your skin. Blech. And I've just bought myself some new honey from Sandy's best friend's mum, who has hives over at Dunnethead, so I can't get any closer than that, and I'm going to try it on my face. The other thing I want to pass on is the Jane Richmond Magic Knot for Knitting. Paula of the Knitting Pipeline fame, hello again Paula, has a pattern from using up the scraps of sock and fingering wool leftovers called the Magic Cake Ruffle Shawl, and you tie the bits of leftover yarn and using the magic knot, and she has this wee video on YouTube. And I was watching her to go alongside Jane Richmond's one. I watched it A because it was Paula, and B it was a lot shorter than the Jane Richmond one. I've actually seen that already, but I just wanted a quick how to do this, and it was it. So it's pretty good, and I can't see where my yarn is joined.
The swap section.
Swap and Cal. Have you sent your swap stuff out? Mine's has gone the other day, Andrea. I found the wrapper for the yarn I've sent you. In my knitting bag. Yeah, it's not in your box. Sorry, Petal. And I received PG Knitting Nurse's parcel on Tuesday. I received 2 50-gram skeins in colours for the bairns. Sandy's colours were greens and browns and blues, and it's a Knit Picks Fleecy colour Marsh. Well, name for a wee boy who likes to go rolling in the marsh. Sandy does. And this is for you that don't have some, because I believe lots of you do. It's quite a common one. And I know that Knitting a Story, she loves this and she has lots of it. And I can see why. It's so nice. And it's fingering weight, 75% superwash merino and 25% nylon. You get 218 yards for 50 grams by Knit Picks. And it's made in Italy. It's perfect for Sandy. And I let him open the lovely tissue package and he squealed and said, oh yes, I like that. Yes, yes. Socks, please, Mummy. Well, Mum, I'm not Mummy anymore to him. He's too old for that kind of nonsense. And then Daisy got to open hers up and it's a Knit Picks Imagination in Damsel colour, which is pink, reds and purples. And this is a 50% merino, 25% superfine alpaca, 25% nylon, and it's 219 yards to 50 grams. And it's a hand-painted fingering weight. And it seems a bit more fluffy because of the alpaca, but just as soft. And there was a peedy wee skein, that's what she wrote, peedy wee, she listens so well, of mixed merino, 2-ply, spun on a spindle from Arizona, from her, in a dark teal colour, which is perfect for me for something I shall mention later. I'm going to make a flower as an accessory. So thank you very much, Andrea. I really loved opening the package and so did the bears, which was nice. Now, what to do with all this wool that we've swapped? I'm going to make socks with both of mine. I just asked on Twitter if I had enough and the wise and the good said yes. Actually, it was Ripplecraft's Wyvern friend Shakur and Wise Hilda that replied. I was delighted with this. I didn't know that Wise Hilda followed me. She answered so wonderfully. I was a complete fangirl, but thank you very much for the four of you for answering. And I asked for advice on the cuffs, and they suggested a twisted rib and go down some stitches in the cuff and see how I get on. I'm still a bit confused because some of you suggested using a larger needle instead of a smaller needle. So, I don't know. I'll try them. We now have a knit along open for everyone to do something with their yarn that they've swapped, or if they would, you'd just like to join in with a 100-gram yarn knit along. You don't have to be in the swap to join this, and it's any pattern that you wish, because some will suit socks and some will suit shawls, depending on what the yarn is. But the rule is, only 100 grams of 4-ply or fingering weight yarn can be used, when you have to do a finished object photographed and link it to the thread by the end of June 2014. I'll find a prize somewhere. So sign up and get knitting. I don't know why I left it to the end of June. It seems quite long away, but I'm quite a slow knitter too. So I'll have to start my socks for the bairns.
The beaker section.
Me section. Oh, because it's, well, all about me. I'm still carrying on with the Karina Westerman pattern Tornved shawl, still. And I'm using Old Maiden Aunt's 4-ply Selkie, which is a dark, dark grey. And it's long rows now and lace. So still nighttime knitting. And I've got one repeat left and then one more chart to go. I am enjoying it when I'm working on it. And it's not long to go. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel and I'll get there. Hopefully I'll have a bit more progress to tell you about by the end of next episode. The Jelly Roll quilt. I am at the hand sewing of the binding, which is the same point I said I was at the last episode. And I was not going to cast anything new on until I had finished this, but moving on, geese. Oh, here, I lied about the house martins and the swallows last episode. There are swallows further south, but I don't think they're back here because I think it was a couple of skylarks fighting for the aforementioned swallow types. It's not quite summer yet, although our nights are fair drawn out and we get light until about 9:30. It's 9 o'clock now and it's still light in the sky. And we have sunshine. Canada, you may have some too. I'm kind of feeling bad for you now. I'm not the snow queen after all. Do you want to build a snowman? I also made the pink minion hat for Daisy. I used a blue acrylic, which is too soft and not worth using for anything other than the hat cuff. And then I used the pink yarn, which the lovely Marta Schmartzala sent me. Oh, hey, she sent me an email with a voice message to it. And it was the best thing ever. It's like she sent me my own little podcast from her. Oh, I was fair tickled with that. Marta Schmartza on Etsy is wonderful. I had a black wool left over from the Mickey Mouse hats that I made last year, and it's a merino, I think, and then the eye was left over bits and pieces, and it was a bit too big for Daisy. I had cast on 90 stitches, I think, with 4mm and then 5mm needles, but she's got loads of hair and it means that she gets to put her hair up in a ponytail and it's contained okay. Loads of room to grow. And she is delighted with it because she's worn it quite a lot. Of course, it's warming up now, so she doesn't really need it that much, but she has it. I have continued knitting with the silk hanky in the blue cobalt colour. Oh, it's lovely. And it's perfect for car knitting because it fits in a Ziploc bag. It's slowly getting bigger. And I'm just doing a line of knit and then a line of knit two, yarn over knit two together to the end, and then right at the end knit two. Pill in a little bit, so next time I think if I have the silk hankies, I'll spin the silk on a spindle or a wheel. It's so strong. Unbelievable how strong that silk is. And it's just, you can go really, really thin and it still keeps without any spin on it. And when I was pulling it to sort of loosen it off and make the piece of yarn thinner, I cut my finger. I looked down and went, oh, blood. Well, how did I do that? And it's the only way I could told you because I was making this thin thread of silk and it cut through into my finger. So I'm quite enjoying it, but it's quite slow. And as I'd finished Daisy's hat, I kind of felt like I had empty needles. And I wanted a throw or a wrap for days when it's warm enough not to wear a jacket, but you still need a little bit of woolly warmness. Something kind of cool looking to wear. So I trawled through Ravelry and I suggested a few shoulder snugs and ponchos. So I ended up with two, the Caponcho and then the Customable Crocheted Poncho by Dandelion Dreamers. I had a few favourited, but Richard pointed out that I would look like a mushroom. So I wrote them. And then he said he thought the Crocheted Poncho by Dandelion Dreamers looked the classiest. So I have 600 grams of Melly Classic Knitting Yarn, which is 100% merino, and I bought it from Liddell's, quite a nice price, and it's in a teal. And it's in a bulky weight, or chunky, if you're British, I think. So, and I was thinking, oh, well, I'll make a jumper, but as I'm waiting on my figure stabilizing with all the running I'm doing, I'm not making jumpers just now. So instead of keeping it for good, I broke out the plastic wrapper and I hooked on. And I'm using a size 8mm crochet hook, which is one of my Knit Picks styphomy coloured ones, wood ones. And it's quite nice. It's huggy when it needs to be and slippy when it needs to be. So I'm quite impressed with that. And it seems to be crocheting up quite fast. There are long rows because what you do is you measure from the middle of one shoulder across the collarbone and the other shoulder down the arm to where you'd like the poncho to come, or your forearm or your wrist. And after you've got that number, you double it, and mine is 70 inches. Now I'm quite short, so it would be really quite big if you were taller. Anyway, I've worked out that each ball of 50 grams yarn would make 1.5 inches width. And with the amount of yarn, I could get a fair decent sized poncho out of it. I was wanting something that I could have in the kitchen, sitting at the counter, that I can just go put a few stitches on while I'm waiting on the tatties boiling, not requiring brain power or soft hands to carry on. So I'll let you know how I progress with this. Hopefully, I'll get it finished before spring finishes. I've been to visit my pal with the twins, and I gave her the baby quilts and the knitted cardigans and hats. And she was delighted, and oh, the twins were just lovely. We had a lovely little cuddle with them, and I hope to see them soon. They're growing like weeds. I had to sew on the binding of the quilt after I talked to you last, and I managed to attach it to the back okay, but the front, I wanted to sew through it with a decorative stitch from my sewing machine to attach it because it didn't need to be caught underneath, as the ribbon I was using was stabilised at either end. And also, I hadn't bought enough. I'd bought enough for one, but I hadn't bought enough for two. What a spoon. I've written it down and I had put 2 × 3.82. But when she says, how much do you want? I looked her and I went, 4 meters, please. So I realised I didn't have enough. And thankfully, Richard was finishing early from work that day. And I said, could you go into Elizabeth's and Thurso and buy the widest white ribbon that they have and get 4 meters? So that's what he did for me, bless him. And the decorative stitch from the sewing machine is quite easy to set off, but it uses quite a lot of thread. And the top edge ended up on the girl's quilt ended up being purple because I ran out of pink thread. It snarled up quite a few times, which was frustrating, and then I cursed myself for not tacking it down first, which is what Ella suggested I did, but you live and learn. Well, actually, you live. Sometimes you don't learn. The wee boy's quilt was the second I did, and it was just as frustrating because I didn't tack it down either. But it doesn't matter. My pal's not a sewer. It's finished, and it won't fall to bits anytime soon because I made sure it was well sewn in. At the quilters, they were making a wee sausage dog pincushion, a la one from the Great British Sewing Bee contestants. And it's easier to make in a cotton fabric, and the one on the TV was in tweeds. So a few of them made tweed or houndstooth, as it was pointed out, and tartan versions. And I have the pattern, but I've not got the time yet. But I actually do have some doggy fabric sent to me by train, so I might use that. Now, I'm late to the party with the Great British Sewing Bee. In fact, if you're not at it now, you're not getting, because it's finished. And for my overseas listeners, this was a competition to find Britain's greatest amateur sewer. It was a series of programmes on BBC Two. They had men and women in the final 12, and I saw it week two and week and the last three, and then a part of the final. And they were wonderful working under that kind of pressure on a sewing machine. The presenter shouting, 10 minutes to go! And they still had loads to do. And then their machine doesn't run out of bobbin thread or snarl up and re-thread it, and they manage to finish things. Well, the ones I saw, they did. However, I know it's very well edited, but the series ended with a well-deserved winner, and I will watch it from the beginning next year if they have another one. They did a really interesting semi-final where they had a garment that they loved from their own wardrobe, and they had to recreate it, which is something that I'm sure we'd all love to do. And it showed that it's not impossible with a bit of knowledge. So, quite fancy a look at their book. I'll add that to my Amazon wish list, along with Rebecca Danger's 50 Yards of Fun, the Shetland Lace book, and the Mary Berry Cooks book. I'm not actually going to be buying anything for a while, but I can wish, can't I? Actually, I know Ravelry has a pattern pick thing, but I'd like them to do a little bit more with the hand-spun picking, because I've got 85 metres of merino, and I'm not sure what to do with it. And I've got about the same in blue and yellow alpaca, and I've no idea what to do with them. There should be books for this. That's my wish into the yonder. Look, off it goes.
Go. We're drumming. I wanna drum it with you. We're drumming. And I hope you like drumming too. Pause.
Drams. On to the drams this episode. Now, after this, there is only blah 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 and a little bit of showbiz. So if you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. I'll catch you next episode. If you are into the drinking and the shopping, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Glen Grant single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello and welcome into this episode of The Drams.
Good evening, all.
It might not be good evening where they are.
Good morning. Good day. Good night.
And everything in between. This episode, listeners, we're going to drink a Glen Grant single malt, the Major's Reserve. Yeah, okay. And the box is quite a thin, taller box, and it's white.
Very white.
And at the bottom, there is a band of yellowy cream with some writing on, established 1840, and it's 70 centilitres, 40% volume.
You're getting good at that.
I am, aren't I? And it sounds so smug, don't I? Yes, I'm good. I finally know what 7 centilitres is. I think that if the
what's
world...
100 centilitres?
A litre.
Well done.
Is it? Oh, good. Yeah, I did that at school. It's a long time ago. If the world was to go round in the fact that Louise finally learned what centilitres were, the world is fine. But other than that, it's doomed. On this box, there is a little drawing of two mannies sitting with a a barrel of Glen Grant Distillery, sharing a dram, but they're kind of stereotypical, what nobody ever wears. They've got their kilts on. Look at the size of yon sporran, Richard. That's doomed to his ankles.
Aye, well, and some are born that way.
They've got their shields and their swords, and if it's 1840...
That boy's got a gun.
They wouldn't really.
She not got a bit of an advantage over the boy with the shield and the sword?
So he does. Yeah.
Aye.
Well, he's obviously just going to drink his drink and then shoot him. Right. It's Glen Grant, single malt, Scotch whisky, seductively smooth, fruity and rich, established 1840. Rothes, Speyside. There's a writing on the back as well. So the bottle is... What's shape?
Traditional
is
shape, I would say. Traditional shape. Uh-huh. It always reminds me of the little kind of second neck there with James Innes's...
Lambs. That he doesn't have because he's a coup farmer.
Pit lamb. No, he is a pit lamb. But he used to do that kind of stuff. I don't think he does it anymore.
Do you want to describe the bottle a bit more? Is that it?
It's glass. With writing on it. Whiskey inside it.
You're supposed to be describing. They can't see what we're looking at. I'm trying to describe
it. It's a traditional bottle. In fact, it's a traditional bottle with a second neck on it. And the kind of thing that I always remember James with his pet lamb, he'd put a teat on the top and feed it the... whatever milk powder solution.
I would hope so, because the whiskey's awful expensive to feed that lamb.
I wonder the lamb's so happy. It's probably a bit of tainted whiskey in there.
On the... what's that bit?
That says, established 1840.
With a wee lion, is it?
Lion, aye. Lion rampant.
Got lions running around the Rothes.
Was it a dragon?
Oh, well, we've got them and all.
Aye. I don't know. Do you think a lion or a dragon? I would say it's a dragon rather than a lion.
I don't know, but it looks like he's the Cowardly Lion from the Wizard of Oz going, put him up, put him up.
Unique, well, I say unique, but unusually for a single malt, has a screw cap.
Yeah, but I was wondering just now, it doesn't say what age it is, so therefore it might be a younger...
8.
Where does it say that?
I'm just saying it might be an 8.
Well, that's why it's got a screw top. Huh? Cheap. It was £22 in Tesco's.
Was it?
Yes.
I have to say, I find it quite nice.
Oh, well, I mean, it's good. It's good that it's not...
I have had a pre-sample tasting.
Yes.
About...
most of it.
Two-thirds of the bottle.
I've had a drama like that.
Yeah.
Right, would you like to describe the colour in the bottle?
Oh, the colour in the bottle, that's quite reddy, kind of Chewbacca-y, I would say.
I wouldn't have said that was... I'd say that was more a dirty Winnie the Pooh as opposed to a Chewbacca.
I think he's more dirty than that.
He's been out... digging the garden and the rotavating, planting tatties.
Well, I'd say it's Winnie the Pooh with a tan,
yes,
and digging the garden and rolling about in oil.
Yes.
Or Chewbacca,
who's
on his day to day toil.
No, that's too light for Chewbacca, I think.
Do you think?
Well, in comparison.
Oh, okay. That's like cold tea.
That's a raisin colour, apparently.
Yes, I would give
them
that.
So I'd go honey, actually. Winnie the Pooh. We've got another bottle of whiskey sitting beside us for us, so we'll talk about that in the next episode. But...
okay, I think we're going to have to agree to differ. In this
fair
one.
Enough, we can do that. Obviously, I'm right.
We have such civil arguments.
I'm still right. Would you like to cork? How do you uncork?
Well, you might unscrew it.
That's what I'm looking for. I've not had any alcohol tonight either, listeners. Okay. Oh, it's a bit of a letdown, really, isn't it? I like the popping of the
cork. What do we smell?
Oh, it's nice.
Vanilla.
It is.
So I get.
Yeah. Right, I'll give you the crack on the back of the box. James Grant, the Major, was only 25 when he inherited the Glen Grant Distillery in Rothes, Speyside. A forward-thinking and unconventional man, the Major personally designed the innovative tall, slender stills with unique purifiers. Oh, the dishwasher's on. Can you go and crack open the dishwasher?
You better leave that in.
Yeah. Where was I? With unique purifiers to achieve his vision of a seductively smooth, fruity, rich, superior single malt. Glen Grant, the Major's Reserve, displays a light golden colour. Yeah, with a soft bouquet of delicate apple note. Apples? Getting apples?
Oh. Yeah, I'm getting apples.
Oh, I got apples! And whiskey listeners, for those that would be disappointed if I didn't say that.
I do find this one quite a...
yeah, I am getting an apple.
The bouquet of it is quite a distinctive bouquet. I do pick it.
This superb single malt offers a fresh and vanilla palate...
I've had the vanilla.
With a slightly dry and hazelnut finish. I'm not really keen about the hazelnut, but there you go. Right, shall we have a wee...
do you want a wee drop of water on it?
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
We're going to swirl it first.
Right, we swirl it round the glass. This is to see listeners that haven't been...
it's quite slow falling. Quite slow.
If it falls fast down the glass, it means it's not as good a quality of whiskey. Tap. If it takes it... it's time coming down the glass.
Water.
Yeah, and Richard sneezes in his water, his whiskey as well. We always add a little drop of water to our whiskey, newer listeners, because it releases the flavours of the whiskey and is it a little bit of the alcohol content off as well?
It breaks down proteins or something, doesn't it?
Technical stuff, physics, I don't really care. You lot might care, you can go look it up.
Chemistry.
Oh, is it chemistry? Oh, I did chemistry. Yes.
You got to consider lifting the glass is potential energy. Drinking from the glass, kinetic energy down the throat.
You
to
lost
the stomach.
Me at lifting. I don't care.
Bouquets, breakdown of molecules
right,
and stuff.
You talk
that's
to
all chemistry
for
stuff.
A wee taste here.
She's taking a taste here. She's putting the glass down. Have a look in. The face looks good. Looks quite a smile. You smiley going there on. Aye, yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm tasting whiskey. A little bit burny in the front of my tongue, so maybe I want a little bit more whiskey water, please.
A little bit more whiskey?
No, a little bit more.
You're plenty,
isn't it? I do.
I thought you said you didn't have a drink.
No,
before.
I'm just always like this. Ow. Let's try it again.
Slangeva.
Slangeva.
The distinctive smell, the odour, the bouquet is vanilla.
An apple. I got apple.
I'm getting the apple.
I'm
here.
Not getting apple anymore. Right, taste. Can you taste
apple? I'm not
getting
hazelnuts or whatever it was.
No, it was hazelnuts. Slightly dry. I would give it dry, yes.
I think it's a cracking me drum.
It is for the price of it.
£22 is still quite cheap when you can get a Old Pulteney or a Highland Park for £25.
£29.
No, but it varies.
Oh, right, okay. I parked outside the Old Pulteney the other day.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a picture?
Yes, I did. It's on Instagram stuff. For those who are interested.
Well, I think you should put it on your podcast as well.
Yes. It's not actually a very good picture.
Doesn't matter.
The colour in the glass, I'd say that's lighter now. That's definitely.
That's because you've added a lot of water to it.
Oh, no, that's Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, no, it is.
Very much now. And look, see how you've taken some out of the bottle? That's Winnie the Pooh there.
Okay, Winnie the Pooh.
Always right.
Monkey, dirty, rotten, needs a bath. Bear.
Yeah.
Well, he's dirty.
He is, yeah. But I don't mind Winnie the Pooh. Right, area that it's from. How much do you know about Rothes, Speyside?
It's a big muckle wind farm there.
Is there?
Mm-hmm. It's in between sort of...
Tom and Tool?
No, Duff Town and Elgin.
All right, okay.
Just it's in the back of Elgin, aye.
On that road that goes from Elgin down to Granton-on-Spey?
Aye, sort of.
Where a lot of the whiskey distilleries are.
Mordor?
No, that's not Mordor. The Mordor road's from Tom and Tool to Braemar.
Yeah, if looking north. And if you go from that Elgin road down, it's looking south, it's Mordor. You not remember the big eye burning in the sky?
I think I was too busy running away from the orcs at the time. Who are you having over for your drams?
Well, I'm having three people over for my dram.
Good, because I hadn't actually thought about it.
Have you not?
No, I completely forgot until I read it on my notes.
No?
Right, go for it.
Well, I'm guessing international listeners might not appreciate where this is, but you know how we drive along Loch Lochy, we go up the Bray, but before we go down the hill to Spion Bridge, there's a war memorial with three commandos on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having any one of those three commandos who were portrayed for that memorial.
Yeah, good idea.
Because I've passed it so many times, mm-hmm. and I always virtually tip my cap to them. Okay. I always sit there and think the sacrifice they boys made.
Oh, yeah.
And what they did. And sort of thinking about what I did today when I was going round and I did a wee run today in an assault course.
Till they left me start
that. It's called the Mini Mudder. It's like a tough mudder thing, which is an assault course of varying distances and stuff. And we ran it. And
Mudder. M-U-D-D-E-R, for listeners who've got no idea what you just said.
It's basically very, very rough cross-country with obstacles put in your way, quite severe obstacles. And we did it. But these guys do it carrying 25 kilos on their back now.
Oof.
We did it for 8.5 miles. So they trained in Spion Bridge out in the wilds, which was the proper wilds then, before mm-hmm. it was all built up. So that's who I'm inviting. Either one of those three, or all three of them. Don't care.
Good idea.
And I'd buy them a dram.
Yeah, I would buy them a dram too.
And I like, in the way I respect the fact they've got a little war memorial going on for those that have fallen since then as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice place to stop there.
It has an aura about the place.
Yeah, it does actually. We stopped quite a few times on the way, or not down and up the road. I don't know who I'm going to have for a dram.
How about me?
You're always there. You pour the dram. I know, I'm going to have Cartman.
Respect my thought, ha!
Kenny.
Who's the one to kill?
Stan is the Kilkenny.
Oh my god, he killed Kenny! You.
Stan and Kyle from South Park. Only because I've seen. It always used to make me laugh, and I'm seeing my Kenny magnet on my fridge. purely just because it's funny.
We get by one day at a time.
Respect that for a time. What's stage one?
Stage one, steal underpants.
What's stage two?
Don't know.
What's stage three?
Make profit.
And for those that have seen that episode, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. Randomly. So, would you buy this drama again?
Yes, definitely. I do enjoy it, but I don't believe it's worth £22.
No, neither do I.
But it's a nice drama.
It is a nice drama. I'd like to share this.
I would put that in the same sort of category as... I always treat these kind of drams and whiskies and stuff as you've got your kind of cooking whiskies, which is your blends and stuff, and you get some very nice blends. Monkey Shoulder, Grouse.
Oh, Monkey Shoulder.
And I put them in the sort of sub £20 mark.
Yeah.
Then you've got your kind of intermediate mid-level malts, £20 to £30, which I think are generally kind of worth it.
Mm.
And then you've got your very good high-class malts, which you can't really put a price on. But I think to put a malt that isn't in the high-class malt, it's all subjective to taste and personal opinion, I think you're really having a laugh charging more than £30 for that.
For
a bottle.
Yeah.
I think for a blend or a low value malt, which can taste very nice, and it depends on your mood in the night, sub £20.
Do you think it matters of what you've had for your tea?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Does it?
Oh yeah.
Right, well, we had sausage casserole for tea tonight, and this goes very well after sausage casserole.
But I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed every single dram I've had from that.
You have, actually, Glen Grant, there's right. A wee drop there. This is a dram that you could buy for when we've got company around, because it's nice enough to give and cheap enough to be able to afford to give.
Depends on what company.
Wait, who would you know?
Well, some of the people I know come in and just scoop the lot.
Well, yeah.
In a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give them bells. I am kidding.
Right, I'd say that was a yes, a thumbs up for the Glen
Grant. No, definitely a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Right, yep, mm-hmm.
Right, so thanks for that.
Okay, that.
Now, we've recorded another drams, which we did straight after that one, and that should cover me for the time that we will not be drinking between now and after the May 10K. Because, obviously, he's in training, and I said I'd join in. So, it was nice. It's not finished yet, and I stand by my being Winnie the Pooh colour.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast and get stuff back, then please go to visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft at some point soon. Thank you for your patience, because I've never put anything up yet, as I promised the last two episodes. That's ridiculous, that's almost 6 weeks. But I will, because I've got a main trip to start funding with your buying things of that I make.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and listen to me. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft. And you can access my Flickr photos from LouiseG2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. And the photos for it are down the right hand side. The music was Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time, and you can go buy this at musicalley.com. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.
Go together to pull wild mountain time all around. Will you go? I see you go. Will you go? I see you go. Will you go?